welcome to a special episode of House of Comments. My name is Emma Burnell and I'm a political journalist. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Ava Etemadzadeh.
Ava, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So you're joining me today because the parliamentary report into processes around sexual harassment and bullying in the workplace is being released. And you are somebody who has been quite high profile in having made one of those complaints. Now, obviously, because your case is still going through the process, we're not going to discuss that in any detail, certainly not the complaint itself. But I am quite interested in your take on what the new rules would have done, would have made it different for you, if at all, and whether you feel that people are taking this seriously enough. So do you want to explain a little bit about what happened, not in terms of what your accusation is, but what happened when you took your complaint to the Labour Party?
Okay. So I was harassed by a Labour Member of Parliament in 2014, and about a year later I made a complaint to the Labour Party, which was not taken seriously and was ignored. In terms of the parliamentary report, I'm disappointed to see that political parties have just started working on this issue, despite the fact that this issue has been going on for years. And I think it's a bit too late, but then better late than never. There are a number of issues with this new recommendations. One of them is that MPs who are being accused of sexual harassment will not be named. So I believe this is a bit problematic because, for example, in my case, when I made a complaint about Kelvin Hopkins and when I spoke about it to the media, if his name had not been publicised, then Kerry McCarthy would not have known. And I think applying anonymity to MPs is not going to be a good idea. And we need, if people like myself or Kate Maltby had not publicly talked about this, then I don't think political parties had taken this issue seriously. And I think they're doing this because of media coverage.
Yeah, I think that's sadly, I think that's right. I mean, and I don't think this is a Labour problem or a Conservative problem. As you mentioned Kate Maltby there, who is a Conservative activist. We saw a few years ago the problems that the Liberal Democrats had with Lord Renard. So this is a problem across politics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where my concern lies is that often when these things happen, there is a very high profile moment. And then 2 years on, actually, the culture just reverts back to where it was, and we don't change things long term. Do you think that these rule changes, I mean, the anonymity is an issue, because that then privileges MPs in a way that other people who are accused of these kinds of crimes don't have, because one of the whole points of naming rape suspects is to have other women come forward to corroborate. So that corroboration, be it rape, sexual harassment, whatever, is actually vital, particularly in the kind of he said she said type of scenario that these circumstances so often are. Do you think that much will change? Do you get a sense that this is more than surface deep?
I believe this would require a bit of time. I mean, it probably would take some time in order to radically change the culture. But I think I appreciate the fact that the media has been giving this a lot of coverage, because I don't think a few years ago the media gave it much importance. So I think this is a good step forward, and the fact that political parties are now working on an independent system, which is absolutely essential. But then again, with this system, we don't know whether it applies to people who work outside Parliament, yeah. because when I was harassed by this MP, I was not an employee yeah. of Parliament. So this is an issue. And also another problem is with training MPs. I mean, I think it's really important to provide training for people who are running for Parliament. The fact that we are going to provide MPs training is, I think, not a very good idea. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, people vote for members of Parliament and they look up to them, and I believe they should be held accountable for the actions. And the fact that we are not going to name them, then how are we going to meant to held them responsible for what they've done? And I understand that some people have concerns saying that, you know, false accusations, but like, what are the chances of, you know, falsely accusing people? I mean, I don't think there are substantial numbers of people who would falsely accuse MPs. I mean, we know that this issue is not just for Westminster. I mean, sexual harassment is epidemic. It happens everywhere. So someone was telling me she was harassed by a judge in a court, and you know, and we see, like, and I think, you know, this is really important to be talked about and apply to other sections of the society.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if we just think this is a Westminster problem,
mm-hmm.
Then it won't go away, because it is absolutely societal wide, it's epidemic.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But it is essential that the people who set the laws
are
seen to be upholding them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, there's a terrible message there when, you know, things aren't taken seriously by the people we put in charge of our country.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the expenses scandal, I mean, I know that if MPs can be named, when it comes to those issues, why should they not be, you know, named in these issues? You know, I do see there's a big difference between these two issues.
I mean, I understand the concerns about false reporting, particularly when it comes to something as partisan as politics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's a balance of probabilities, isn't it? There's never going to be a perfect solution, and what you have to balance is the danger of false reporting with the danger of harassment being hidden away because we're not naming people. And you know, that's always going to be a balanced judgment, and it probably there might be a point at which you wouldn't report the name until a point where you would, that would have to be taken by an independent set of people rather than the partisan
absolutely. I mean, we know that 2 years ago when I made a complaint, I didn't name the MP publicly or anything, and still the party didn't give it much importance. And Jeremy Corbyn, you know, he promoted him to the shadow cabinet despite the warnings by the chief whip of the Labour Party. So we you know, in this case, I don't think political parties can be trusted. And I think if these MPs are not being named, then serious action will be taken.
No, absolutely. And I think there is a horrible calculus that goes on within every political party about the importance of young, often women, but sometimes not women, but young people without much internal power and other people with a lot of internal power.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the Monica Lewinsky problem. You know, if you look at what happened to Monica Lewinsky, Monica Lewinsky must have been one of the brightest young women of her generation. She got an internship at the White House. How much competition must there be for that?
Yeah.
And yet, our entire attitude towards her has been that she was the silly little slutty girl. And Bill Clinton is still held up as a complete hero.
Yeah, I know, absolutely.
That's because the Democratic Party decided that his power was more important than hers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing happened with Lord Renard. And again, that's what we're seeing repeatedly in parties.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even there was a case in the Green Party. So this
applies
to every issue. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we saw it with the SWP.
Yeah, yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I think it is essential to get this out of the party structure. And, you know, this is part of the problem, particularly with your case, because you weren't a member of staff, so you didn't have the kind of workplace protections that the parliamentary report is talking about.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, you know, the Labour Party has 500,000 voluntary members now.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are vulnerable people. Mm, I mean, not everyone is vulnerable, but they are all... You know, being a member of a party is in itself quite a vulnerable position. Mm. You are giving a lot of your time and effort and energy to something that you truly believe in. The pressures not to hurt that thing that you believe in are extreme even when there isn't pressure put on you by other volunteers, by members of staff, not to rock the boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
And where is the independence service for those volunteers? And that's something that I think is concerning.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, if you could go back 3 years, 4 years, and have a different system, what system would you have liked to have had to help you deal with your complaint in the right way?
Well, I was surprised, to be honest, a few years ago that such a system did not exist. So I believe that, first of all, any independent system that would investigate these cases independently, non-partisan, obviously, would have been ideal. And of course, as we discussed earlier, a system that could apply to activists like myself. And also a system that would not require the victims to waive anonymity. Well, as I say, it should not apply to the MPs because, you know, they're elected representatives.
I should probably also expand that to councillors as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, even right down to sort of branch officers and things.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are structures of power throughout every political party.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be at the top level for that power to be abused or for the ability to abuse that power. Now, I mean,
absolutely.
The vast majority of people don't abuse that power, and we should very much be clear about that. But that doesn't mean that structurally it's not set up to make it very easy for people to do so. I mean, I think there are two issues here, aren't there? There's the structure and there's the culture. And we've sort of talked about, you know, different types of independent reporting services, and that's a structural question.
Yeah.
But are there cultural questions that need to be addressed as well? How do we change just the general culture towards volunteers? How do you make it okay that when we look up to people, which is fine, it's a good thing to do, we all have people we admire, that doesn't then give a certain amount of leeway for them to abuse that?
I mean, that's a good question.
So, it's quite a big question. I'm not sure to expect you to answer.
Well, I think the media is actually playing an important role in terms of changing the culture, because obviously people read newspapers and watch TV, and I think this actually has an effect. And the fact that if MPs who are found guilty of sexual harassment are being, you know, punished by Parliament or the party... I think it's going to play an important role. I mean, not just, again, MPs, you know, by... I think some level of penalty or, you know, punishment is needed in order to change culture. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, like, you know, kind of punishment that's... I'm not suggesting, you know...
We don't want the stocks back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I'm sure you've thought about the stocks on occasion.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want capital punishment. I'm not suggesting that. But some degree
but
of
appropriate... But to be
appropriate...
seen that it is taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that there are adequate penalties.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that there's a deterrent. I mean, what concerns me culturally at the moment is the deterrent seems all on the side of why on earth would young women go and work... or get engaged in politics at the moment. And I've spent most of my life championing women of all ages, not just young women, to go and get involved, big up their voice, be a bigger voice in the Labour Party. You know, that's been my sort of area, but and across politics. And I've tried to work with other women in other political parties to do that. Obviously, you had a very bad experience, but that hasn't put you off being engaged in politics, I hope.
I mean, it's not a very pleasant, you know, experience, especially that, you know, I have dedicated about 5 years of my life to the Labour Party, and, you know, I was a bit disillusioned. But at the same time, I think it's important to, you know, to stay and fight challenge these, you know, these cultural problems and issues. So I will be fighting for justice, and because if I don't, then these things will happen again to future. Well, I mean, the reason I'm challenging this and, you know, talking about this issue is because I don't want this the same thing that happened to me to happen to people in the future. Yeah. And if I could make, you know, a difference on this issue, then I would be, you know, would be pleased.
Excellent. Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's so brave to stand up the way that you have, and I really admire that. And I think it's vital that women who do stand up are well supported. Since you've been more public, what's the response been in general?
Well, I have received phenomenal support from people and party, you know, members and activists, you know. But in terms of abuse, I got some abuse from people who associated my my complaints to factional in fightings in the Labour Party, which is absolutely ridiculous. But I would never allow those, you know, the trolls.
Don't let it hold
you back. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not factional. I mean, if you look at the people, the MPs we know who have been named, who have had complaints against them, as far as I can see, it's across the
Labour Party. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think you and I would both agree, wherever we sit on the spectrum, and I don't actually know where you sit on the Labour Party spectrum, I don't actually care.
Because it's a cross-party issue.
Yeah,
this is not, you know, it's not about left or right. It's a cross-party issue.
No, and I think one of the problems in the Labour Party in particular at the moment, although I can see it going that way in the Conservative Party, is that we have split into very bitter factional fighting. And that stops us seeing each other as humans in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I think one of the nice things that happened during the election campaign was everyone put down their fight against each other, got out on the doorstep together.
Yeah, absolutely. I was one of them.
Yeah, which is incredible.
I worked so hard during the 2017 general election, not just that, 2015 and before that. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So I think it's really essential that we put our factional issues aside and actually remember that we're all in the same party.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aiming for the same goals. Mm-hmm. And there's, to quote Jo Cox, we have more in common.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you.
And given that end, what would you say to, say, the next chair of a... So the next young woman who wants to be chair of her Labour Student Society, how would you advise them to approach that role?
Well, I would advise them to believe in their abilities, first of all. Yeah. Secondly, always see themselves equal to men. Thirdly, don't let anyone to bring them down. You know, all the people who say, you know, you're less capable, you can't do this only because you're a woman, or, you know, you're not good for the job. Don't believe those. Just work hard. Yeah. And also, if you face any, you know, well, I hope not, but if you face any, you know, bullying or sexual harassment, you should definitely report it. Mm-hmm. And you should fight for fight for it until you get a good outcome.
Satisfactory
outcome, yeah.
Absolutely. And on a more positive sort of note, just to finish up on, what are you doing now? Where does your future lie?
My future. well, at the moment I'm doing my master's, so I'm working. Ah, really?
Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Exciting.
A bit older than you, but I've gone back to uni.
Oh, really? How old are you?
At 42.
Oh, really? Ah, yeah. Oh, bless you. It's not too old. Oh, well, I'm 27, so.
It feels it some days.
Oh, bless you.
So what are you doing your master's in?
In politics and contemporary history, yeah.
Great. And so you will be Prime Minister by 2035?
Oh, Lord.
Well, yeah, like you say, don't let anyone hold you back.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, at the moment I'm working on my dissertation on the Bank of England, independence of the Bank of England.
Ah,
so, yeah, I'm going to discuss whether we should transfer more elements of economic policy to the Bank of England. So
is that where your sort of interest lies, particularly the economist sort of?
Yeah, I'm very interested in that area. So, yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, it would be about time we had a bloody female chancellor, right?
Well,
so you never say never.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we shall see.
And is there anything else that you'd like to sort of, any direct message you want to say to anyone who's sort of been watching your case, watching your future, maybe nervous about coming forward themselves? Because obviously it's not easy, but do you feel that it's been worth it?
Yeah, it's been very challenging in terms of, you know, it's just, I mean, some people absolutely admire you, you know, for what you do. But at the same time, there are people who are like, who like to, you know, re-victimise you.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes you a bit, you know, a bit disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think these are the issues that are worth fighting for. Because, like, this is not something that's happened to me once, it's happened to me before.
Mm.
And I was so upset to see that, you know, I could not remain silent.
Yeah.
anymore. And, you know, and I just, and this doesn't happen. Yeah, absolutely. It just doesn't happen to me. It happens to lots of people.
Yeah.
And I know other people are going through this, you know, every day. And, you know, so I think it's really important to fight for these issues. And I think it's important for women and men to talk about sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's not a normal, you know, way to, it's not something normal to face.
Yeah.
So it's always best to campaign on an issue, talk about this issue, to change the culture and the structure, you know, structural, what do you call it?
Yeah, I mean, I think structural change can lead to cultural change.
Yeah,
think sometimes,
yeah,
we on the left are a little too instrumental,
mm-hmm,
believing
mm-hmm
that structural change is all you need to do and leaving
yeah
the cultural bit behind.
Mm.
But I think that certainly, you know, you can't really have one without the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, I was reading Jess Phillips' book, Every Woman.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it's an excellent book. It says,
it's like a stream of consciousness.
Yeah, I know. I was really impressed. It was a really great book. There's a section where it says, despite the introduction of all women shortlist, the sexism within the Labour Party has not changed. So I think, you know, it's, as you said, you need cultural change and then structural change.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, I mean, my mother was a strong feminist Labour woman. She used to wear a badge in the 70s that said,
nice,
"Labour women make policy, not tea."
yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely,
you know, I couldn't agree more. But you know, we're still treated as the tea makers far too often.
Yeah, yeah.
But the more we shout about it.
Yeah, the more we shout about it, the more seriously this issue is taken.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I think one of the key things is that there is a narrative that sometimes comes out that this is a distraction from the real issues.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, unless you get this right, you won't deal with the real issues, particularly not for you know, huge swathes of the country who happen to be female.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Arva, for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing everything that you're going to do in the future.
Oh, thank you. Same here.
And I just want to thank Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com for our theme tune, and to remind everybody that this has been a Political Human production. If you've enjoyed this, please remember to rate and review us on iTunes.